Today, as we're walking through this time of seasons, we are now talking about seeking. This month has to do with seeking, seeking the Lord's will, seeking our part in all that. And so last week we talked about seeking new directions and what that would look like. And this morning we're going to be talking about new beginnings. Next week we're going to talk about new leadership. And let me urge you to be here next Sunday. We've got two staff members that are next Sunday. A primary focus of what we're going to do is we're going to be recognizing them and licensing them to the ministry. And that's not the same thing as ordination, and we'll talk about some of that, but that means this. Our church has voted that when we look at these two men, that we've seen in them the evidence of God's call upon them to be in vocational ministry. And we put our stamp of approval on them. And so we'll have a great time of fellowship with that next week as we do that. The next week, the 22nd, will be a time of new relationships. We have a guest speaker coming that's going to share about some of the new relationships that our church is entering into with the Baptist Missionary Association of Texas. He'll be here that day to share with us. And then the last Sunday this month, we're going to talk about seeking new people and what that begins to look like going forward. But this morning, we're going to be talking about new beginnings. So when I think about beginnings, where's the first place in Scripture we see beginnings? Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created. Now, this is not going to be a sermon about Genesis chapter 1, but in the beginning, in that passage, in Genesis 1:1, God's plan always includes beginnings. In Genesis 1, we see the first cause. It was not an accidental process. It was not an unplanned process. It was not something that just happened, but there was a first cause, and it was God. God begins things. And if we understand that, that gives us a point of reference as we go forward as a church. Where do we look to find a place to have beginnings? We go to God. Why? Because that's who He is. That's what He does. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God as the first cause. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And through Him, all things that are created were created. Not only is God in Genesis the first cause, He is the, John chapter 1, He is the first creator. He's the one that originates. See, as a church, there's a lot of places that we can go to find beginnings. We can get online, and I love listening to podcasts, and I've just rediscovered a great, great preacher. I'll tell you, if you want to listen to somebody who sounds like God, start listening to a guy named Joel Gregory. Great, great preacher. Oh my goodness gracious. Great knowledge, great insight. We can listen to podcasts, we can go online. But listen to me, as a church, the foundation for where we must always come as we begin to seek those beginning points has to come back to Him. Not your staff, while we have a great staff. Not your group of churches that you affiliate with, but we have to come back to God. Because why? Because God always has beginnings. In the midst of that, you see, that's difficult for us because we live in a linear world. Some of us struggle with that. Some of us struggle with time management. No amens. But we have to remember that God is not linear. You see, God is as much here today as He is tomorrow, as He was 10 years ago, unchanging. He is omniscient. He's not bound by the linear existence in which we live. I've said this before, and I'll say this to you again. Never in existence of anything in this creation has ever happened in our linear existence that God went, oh, I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't prepared for that. We can trust Him. Why? Because He's omniscient. He's not in the place of being limited, which we are. He's omnipresent. I'm so glad that while we're meeting at the church at 242, the presence of God is in this place just as much as it is with Mike and Karen's kids in Uganda. just as much as it is at my mom's church in Oklahoma. Just as much as it is everywhere that believers are meeting together in the world, God is just as present there as He is here. We cannot limit Him in the context of that and simply say, well, we can have a new beginning here, but we have to wait over here till God makes turn for us. He's not limited by that in His beginnings. So He's not only is He omniscient and omnipotent, He's also all-powerful. He's omnipresent, he's omniscient, and He's omnipotent. That means there's nothing too big for Him. How many times do we fail because we don't believe that God can do what He said He's going to do? How many times do we not try because we don't think that God has the ability to do what He's promised? Our Bible study this morning talked about faith. And see, faith means this. Faith means this. If God said it, I have to live as if what He's promised is going to happen and making preparation for that, even if it hasn't happened. I don't get to mandate and dictate to God what His will is, but I must live in the presence, practicing and living in His will, even if what He's promised hadn't gotten here yet. Now, I don't know, some of you at some point in time will be looking for a mate. You need to be practicing and praying for what that will look like, even if it's not here. Let me rephrase that. Some of y'all may be saying, man, I wished I would have done that. But He says in that passage that God always, His plan always has a beginning. If we're going to do what God's called us to, we must start always with God as we seek new beginnings. Here's what I want you to see in all of this. They also has His work also has a beginning. Not just His plan, but His work. See, having a plan is great, but a plan without work is of no value. James says this, faith without works is dead. I believe. What are you doing to live out that as if it is going to be happening? Can I tell you the problem with many of us? Is we believe God can do anything, but we just don't believe He can do it with us. He can do it through them. And so many times in the church, churches fail because the people that God's called to do it are setting back saying, God, You sure could use them, but You sure can't use me. But let me give you an Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 43, there's this great passage. There's this great passage in Isaiah 43. Now, I have to be careful that I don't misrepresent this, because God's work always has a beginning. You see, Solomon said this, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that has been, is, and will be. I got married in 1973 in bell-bottom pants. Some of y'all are already laughing. I had 2-inch platform blue suede and purple platform shoes, Oxford shoes. Good old days. I had a white French collared, fluffy collared shirt. The coat that I had had collars about this big. I was looking at something the other day and I thought, that guy's got on what I had on when I got married. Why? Because there's nothing new under the sun. Everything changes. But what I'm saying to you, when we start as a church, we have to understand what God says. God's speaking all the way back in the time of Isaiah in chapter 43. Let me read verse 18 and 19. Here's what He says. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I'll even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now let me stay with you to make sure you understand this. What he's not saying is this. Throw out everything that's happened in the past. Everything in the past has no values. We live in a world today. I think in many ways, has said, if it's not happening in this present time, it has no value. Oh, we don't even have a concept of what it's like. That's not what he's saying there. But what he's saying is this, you can trust me in the contemporary age in which you live that I'm capable of doing what needs to be done. I was at the Bible college yesterday up in East Texas that Karen and I were in when we got married, and they put out a monthly newsletter. And I walked down the halls and I went by the room when Karen was there. You remember the old mimeograph machines? Y'all ever remember a mimeograph machine? Yeah. You put the ink in, you got to crank, ka-chinka, chinka, ka-chinka, chinka, ka-chinka, chinka. She worked in the printing room printing all that out. You know what? They don't use that anymore. Why? Why don't we do puppets and felt crafts? What are those things? Flannel graphs, all those kind of things. Why don't we? Because technology's changed. Can I tell you the narrative hasn't? But what he's saying in this is this: listen, don't simply focus on what used to be. I said this to a guy yesterday, walking with a pastor on Friday night, who's going through a difficult time and looking behind him constantly at what happened and the problems he went through. And here's what I said to him. Do you not understand that you can't drive down the highway focusing on the rearview mirror? What God is saying here is this. There's a time in for beginnings. And the beginnings are not simply looking behind you, but looking forward. The greatest lie that most churches will say in America today is this. We can't do that. You know what the cousin of that is? We've never done that before. What do you think the first person said when they decided to put indoor plumbing in an old country church? We've never done that before. We've always had to go to the outhouse. Praise God for indoor plumbing and air conditioning. And soft seats. I sat in the pew at a Bible conference up in East Texas for 6 hours last week, and I was thinking, praise Jesus, Sunday morning, I get to sit in a nice, comfortable chair. What he's saying is this, listen, don't simply focus, but here's what I will do. Behold! You know what behold means? Pay attention! I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will make a way in the world. Listen, he says this, nothing new under the sun. God is always using beginnings to instigate his work. Can I tell you this? As long as I've lived here, there have been new houses being built in our neighborhoods. Until this last week, our church has never driven all those neighborhoods trying to find out who lives where and finding a way to connect with them and beginning to interact with them. That's a new thing. I'm doing something new. I'm doing something different. But it's not new because you know who did that for years and years and years? Not a church. What was the people called that came to your house with a bag of things? Welcome wagon. Thank you. Somebody old knew that. But what he's saying is this, I will show it to you. And by the way, it's not going to be hidden. Be careful when you read this, because I saw this in this passage. It says this, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. And then there's a phrase, shall ye not know it? Here's what it didn't say. It did not say, ye shall not know it. Do you see the difference? See, when God works, you need to be aware of this. When God works, it's evident to those that are seeking him. Sometimes it causes us to go, oh, wow. But God does not work and hide it from his people. He always invites us to join him in what he's doing. Why is 242 Church here? As Andy said earlier, it's to reach our community. I love you. I'm glad you're here. But y'all ain't enough. Why? Because God is drawing people from all over this country into this community week after week after week. If you don't believe me, drive down 242 at 7 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock at night. That'll get you prayed up. What am I saying? I'm saying God is always doing beginnings. He always has a work, and his work always has a beginning. Because see, simply old traditional works won't always suffice for the future needs. What's going to happen as God moves and the church begins to see the evidence of that? Number one, make sure you don't miss this. This will become a healthy church. You will become a healthy Christian. Now hear me. I want God to grow this church, but I do not want... Some of y'all are going to be upset. I do not want God to bring into this church people that will not be any more spiritual than we are. We need to be the people, the salt and the light, that when they come, you know what they're going to find? They're going to find men and women who love God and love each other. I had a guy call me not long ago and said, "Hey, I was at a church in your area and there's some folks there that are disgruntled. And they're looking for a church home. Can I recommend you and your church?" Wouldn't it be great to have about 20 new people? No. I don't need your complaining and whining and begrudging and all the bickering that you're... We don't need that. Why? Because God's doing a work of growing into this fellowship, a sweetness and a unity and a koinonia fellowship. We don't need folks that's going to come in here whining and complaining. Now listen to me. We do want to have folks who are hurting. We want to find those folks that need fellowship, that need folks that will love on them, that need to find a place where God is real and God is at work and God will use them. One of the things that is vitally important is to know if God brings you here, He has a place for you. We have a need for you. I can begin to list off a need right now that we're waiting on God. We're not just waiting, hoping, but we're waiting in faith. Anybody else know anything different this week about the stage than last week? We got a set of drums. Why? Because I believe God's going to bring us someone who has the talent to be an instrumentalist who can come and join our worship team and lead us to the throne of grace to play a set of drums. Do we have him today? Nope. Do we have a keyboard player today? Nope. See, we can have a keyboard player or a piano player, but I believe God's going to bring to us someone to do that. We need someone that can help us with discipleship. We need someone that is grounded in their faith that can come and help us to begin to equip the saints for the ministry of the gospel. We need all of those kinds of things. We need folks that can serve in certain kinds of areas. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for God to begin the work. And I believe that as He does, He's going to bring the sufficiency of who He is. Not only are the old traditions, but He also says this, the old tired ways, the way we've always done everything, won't suit what we need in the future. We're going to have to see Him do work. It will, ye shall know it. You're going to see it. By the time we get to May, you know what I believe is going to happen? I believe by May, we're going to begin to say, okay, let's see what God's doing. And somebody over here is going to say, let me tell you what God's done in our world, in our life, where I was, but where I am. Why? Because God's doing what He does as we seek after Him. God's work always has a beginning. And sometimes the beginning is you. I was in a meeting yesterday and a pastor said, you know, I had a couple come to me, and this has happened before, and they said, "Brother so-and-so, we think this would be a great ministry for the church. What do you think?" And he said, I looked at him, I said, "When are you going to start?" "Oh, no. We were thinking that it would be good for you to start it." Listen, I'm already doing what I'm called. Why are you not doing what you're called? New beginnings always start with the work of God. So we've got the plan of God, we've got the work of God, and then very quickly as I hurry, we've got the transformation of God always has a beginning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, and you know this passage, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. New creature, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Here's what I'm going to tell you. As we seek God, as we pursue God, you cannot stay the same. You cannot. Are you going to get smarter? No. Are you going to get handsomer or a word? It's a good word if you're from Texas. No. Are you going to get thinner? No. But here's what I do know. As I pursue God and I begin to follow Him, the transformation of God is going to take you where you are, regardless of where that is when you start, and move you to the place that's going to be beyond where you are today. I love that passage. That's one of those if and therefore, if then. If a man is in Christ, then he's a new creation. You know what? He doesn't even use the then. Here's what he says. If you're a new, here's what you are. It's not an option. It's not like heated seats. As you become a Christian, listen, I wrote this down. If a man gets married, old things have passed away, he's no longer single. You see, some of you were single when you got married. Right? You were single. The moment you said, I do, singleness went away. Now stay with me on this. I was in Henderson, Texas yesterday at the school that I was, Karen and I were at when I was in Bible college when we got married. I actually drove around on the campus to the little apartment that we lived in. On May the 27th, 1973, we went from being single to being married. And we moved into that little apartment. 53 years later, I will tell you, what we thought marriage was in 1973 had nothing to do with what marriage is. It was a transformation. You understand that, what that looks like? The same thing is what he's saying in this. When God begins to work, when we seek a new beginning, God begins in His work and in His plan the process of transformation. No longer are we what we used to be, but we're now on the process of being what we shall be. By the way, you never arrive until you get home. It's ongoing. I'll just say this to some of us senior adults. We don't get to say, well, we used to, now we don't have to. You can't do what you used to do, but God's not through with you. When God's through with you as a believer, He's going to take you home. And if you decide to sit and soak, you're going to sour, and probably you may get to go home sooner than you had planned on. There's a transformation. So very quickly, let me show you this, because what does that look like? He's setting in March of 2026, which is hard for me to believe already. The process of seeking that God wants to do is a transformational process. Here's the first thing I want you to know. Here's what that process looks like from a biblical standpoint. The first one is this. It brings to us a point of recognition. Sometimes it's a point of recognition that says, man, I've come to believe that this is a need in my life. This is a point of deficiency in my life. This is a point of what God is wanting to do in our church. But there is this point of recognition. See, it's not the pastor going, God wants us to do that. If you shop at Walmart and you love Jesus, you're going to do it. It's this, God, this is what you need from us. This is an area of expertise. Joe's been working on one of the pillars of our thing is this culture of prayer. And we need some prayers. We need folks that say, you know what? I can pray. I may not be able to go out and talk to people, but I can pray. How do I take what I have and plug it in? Maybe it's some other things that we're working on. Men's ministry, discipleship, students, children, all those kinds of things. But there's a place for it. I need, when God, listen to me, when God births that in you, it's there for a reason. A point of recognition. Wow, God, that is a point of recognition. Do you ever know how you came to get from being lost to getting born again? See, nobody ever comes to Christ in salvation until they first realize that they're lost. When I realize that I have a lack in my life, I don't have a personal relationship with the Lord. I have some kind of a religious process or a religious system, but I've never joined in a personal, intimate relationship. when I began to realize that God is working. And what do we want people to do? We want them to respond to that. In the church, as God is beginning something new and we're seeking that, He brings us to the point of recognition. The second thing is He allows us to look backwards. He doesn't allow us to go backwards, but He allows us to look backwards. And that's two things about that. One, if you've been born again for very long, if you've walked with Christ very long, as you look back, you're going to see two things. Failures, where I messed up, but you're going to see success. Because as we are transformed, we are farther along today than we were 5 years ago. See, if I look at my life and there's absolutely no difference in my faith life, my transformation today as there was in 2015, something is wrong with me in my walk. Why? Because God is always at work. He lets me look back to say, listen, if He did it then, guess what? I'm beginning a new thing. I'm going to let you in on it. But if you don't, you can sit on the sidelines and watch the parade go by. Or if you will, I'll put you on one of the floats. God is always, then He challenges us to go. He challenges us to go. What does that look like? What does that look like? Where are we going? We're going where He leads us. Where's that going to be, Pastor? I don't know. Because see, we're in the seeking mode right now. But if I don't recognize what has to happen in the seeking mode, when the opportunity gets here, I won't be ready to respond. See, when my wife and I walked, when she walked down that aisle in January of 1973, that was not the first time we met. That was not an accident. She didn't show up at the church and go, hey, what's going on? Hey, we want you to get married. Come in, and there's this handsome devil down at the front waiting on you. Why? Because we had planned for it. We had talked about it. We had overcome obstacles to make it happen. You know, all those kinds of things. But when it came time, we were ready to make the step. Church, as we're going forward, as we're looking and we're ready for God to do those kinds of things, when the time comes, we are poised and we're ready to go. And the last thing is this. He calls us to commitment and to change. There's no way to continue to go forward with what God's doing and not see change happen. Change has to happen. Sometimes it's not large change. Sometimes it's massive change. Here's what it may mean. And I believe this will happen. I believe God will draw to us people. Number one, maybe unchurched people. Maybe have no clue. But He may bring to us some folks that are coming from a different church setting or a different church culture. I visited with a couple about a month ago. And we were talking about that. My wife and I had this conversation when God began to make it clear that we were supposed to come. She said, Dennis, do you know how many years we prayed as a small church that God would bring us some folks that possess what we possess? Not that we're anything special, but we bring some things to the table. We bring some experience. We bring some passion. We bring some energy. We bring some tools and all of those kinds of things. As we do all of that, what we're looking at in this place is to say, God, would you bring us some folks like that? But when they come, they may not come from a culture like this. One of the hardest things in the world for me to come here was to step away from a church that had way more resources than we have here. Because I was in a church staff that was a large church. I mean, we had any kind of resources and funding that we needed for anything. To come to a small place like this, had to say, okay, God, we're willing to do whatever you call us to do, whatever that looks like. And that's a shift. See, our Bible study class on Sunday mornings had almost as many people in it as we have in our service. But here's what I know. When we decided to come the second Sunday we were here in our small Bible study class, the comment at the end that I made to Karen was this. Karen, we've been sitting in this Bible study class in this large church setting for 18 months, and we did not experience what we experienced here this morning. Why? Because God's at work. He's beginning some things. He's doing some new things. And He wants us to be involved. He calls us. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Seeking new beginnings. Why? Because God's always using beginnings in His plan. He's using beginnings in His work. He's using beginnings in His transformation. But He asks us the question, and here's what I will ask you this morning. What would hinder you and hinder me this morning from being able to do and go where He's called us? Here's the question. What part of me does God not have? Here's what I will say to you. I said in the class yesterday, talking about outreach. Can I just tell you this? It's way easier to do outreach when you're an extrovert. I won an award for the company I worked with in the Baptist organization for 10 years. And it basically said this: he is the award winner for having never met a stranger. You know why? I've never met a stranger. My wife says to me, I hate going places with you. And she says, why? She said, because you go in the building, I don't know a soul. And before you sit down, it is your objective. You have to go talk to every single person in the building. And I'm standing in the corner like this. Why? Because I love meeting people. I love connecting with people. Listen, God does not always simply call the extroverts to be the folks to be out in the community. Sometimes He uses introverts. Not in the same way. I may be an extrovert, but I may never visit with your neighbor. But you as an introvert may get to know them. You may help them weed eat their yard one day. You may have them come and borrow stuff from you. Make sure they bring it back. Whatever it looks like, what I'm saying to you is this. What part of me does God not have? I can't tell you. Only you can tell you. By the way, He already knows. I don't have to tell Him so He'll know. I just have to confess, God, I know that You know. And now I know. And I want You to know. When we get there, say, Lord, whatever it is, I surrender. I surrender. That song we sing, holiness is what? It's what I long for. What does that even mean? What is holiness? It means that I look like Him. Holiness is not a facade, but it is a spiritual change. God, it's what I long for. It's what I desperate for. When I get to the place that I'm holy, as He is holy, from our Bible study this morning, when I'm in relationship with Him, and He says, I've got a new beginning, even if it looks like a mountain, the Bible says if we are in relationship with Him like we're supposed to, not a name it, claim it, but when I find my spirit in union with His spirit and there's a mountain, here's what I can say. Be moved. You can't tell mountains to move. I'm not telling mountains to move. I'm agreeing with Him that He's going to move it. I had a pastor this week. He said, Brother, what are you going to do when you get to a point you can't put people in this building? I said, I don't know. But there's a mountain next door we could claim. Well, we got to think about moving. No, we don't. We just need to think about what God wants us to do. Listen, I'm going to tell you. I'm just telling you now. I'm claiming it. What are you claiming, Pastor? I'm claiming that when we get big enough, God's going to make space for us. And I don't know that I'll even be here by then. I may be in heaven by then, but I believe with all my heart, years ago, God put a resource in place that is there so that when the time comes, the church at 242 will have it. They don't even know it yet. We don't even know it yet. What part of me does He not have? See, here's the question, and I can't even read that from here. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do? Church this morning, man, I'm pumped and thrilled about 2 and 6. I'm excited about where God's coming, what we're going to do. And it's not just doing events, but we're building a community. God's going to bring people to us, people that say, man, I need a place. We had a family visit a couple, 3 weeks ago, and here's what he said to me. Man, your church made me feel like I was home. I think Carrie said this in her lesson. I think maybe it was last week or somebody. You know what church ought to feel like? It ought to feel like your living room. Isn't that awesome? It ought to feel like I'm home. Now, you're welcome to take your shoes off if you want to, but just make sure you wash your feet before you come. What am I saying? Are we ready? Are you ready? God, as we seek beginnings, has a plan, he has a purpose, and he has a process. I don't want to miss it. Do you? Do you? God, what part of me don't you have? I give it to you today. Father, this morning, as we meet in this place, as we seek your face, as we just desire to be as real today as we know how to be, God, can we just be as real sitting here as we would at work or at home? Or even diving down the freeway or at Walmart, Chick-fil-A, Whataburger. Can we just be that honest with you today? God, there's nothing fancy about anything that we do, but it is that we sit at the feet of the Almighty, Sovereign, Omnipotent, Omniscient, Omnipotent, Creator, Sustainer of the universe. And that you love us, and that you've called us, and you're equipping us and you're transforming us. God, may we cry out, I don't want to be left out. I don't want to sit on the sidelines. I don't want to miss what's next. And God, if my journey ends before you get here, let me not be one to sit and wave goodbye. Let me be on the road, on the journey. God, this morning, what is it in me? What is it in me? Is it my history? Is it my failure? Is it my lack of faith? Is it hurt, church hurt, a wound? Is it my priorities? Is it relational? God, is it almost a fear because of things that have happened in the past to trust you going forward? God, draw into the church at 242 New Beginnings and people who are passionate about New Beginnings and what that looks like. Whatever you want to do this morning, God, we give you permission to do it because that's our heart's cry, is that your will be done, not ours. Start in me. In Jesus' name, amen.